ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग, नमस्ते। Baba's Muralis give us food for thought to nourish the intellect, and I think that the Murali of the 17th, Friday's Murali, the Sakar Murali, did that for many people. Do you remember which Murali I'm talking about? Yes? No? Some are nodding their heads. And it's the Murali in which Baba has taken up the whole subject of thoughts and karma philosophy. And we understand, of course, that thoughts and karma, sanskaras and thoughts, all of that create the cycle. And Baba's come to help us change our sanskaras and purify us. And so the purification process begins with the thoughts. We don't instantly change our habits first or our sanskaras. Sanskaras carry on for a long time, and habits carry on for a long time. But it's the thoughts that we can see and adjust, and Baba purifies the thoughts with jnana. And so if I'm constantly thinking about Baba's Murali and soul consciousness, then yes, my thoughts are going to be pure thoughts. So Baba used this word nirsankalp, and in bhakti, which literally translated means no thoughts. And in bhakti, they say that real meditation is when there are no thoughts. And in Baba's definitions, Baba would say that it's your pure thoughts that lead to the connection with God. And then when there is that connection with God, then in that stage, the mind is quiet and it's more in the experience rather than thinking. There's a difference between thinking I'm a peaceful soul and actually feeling I am peace. And of course, at that time you are soul conscious, you are in Baba's presence. So you can see that bhakti has taken up that final stage of being free from thoughts, but then of course they haven't explained the pathway to be able to get there, which is why it's so difficult for Bhagats. And for Baba's children, it becomes easy Raj Yoga, because Baba explains step one, step two, step three, and so on. And this Murali, if you think about it in the connection of the Murali that we heard in October, the Avyakt Revision Course Murali, and I don't expect you to remember chapter and verse and date, but again, it was a very significant Murali. It was very significant when we first heard it in the 80s, but it was also highly significant when we heard it now. Avyakt Bhaktada didn't come in a physical way, but we saw the recording of that particular Murali that Avyakt Baba had spoken, and the atmosphere of Madhuban was extremely, extremely powerful. Many of you were there, and nobody felt that we'd missed out on anything. It was a feeling of actually having Baba present with us. So that Murali, Baba had spoken about three types of accumulation. The first one, just simply through inner spiritual effort, and that is what creates the reward of the future. The second, being content and giving contentment to others, and that brings you blessings from all. And the third one, whatever it is you do in terms of practical action, that becomes charitable act, punya karma, and so that gets added on to your account. When Baba had first spoken this murli, again it had been a pebble in the pond and had made everybody think very deeply, because good karma is good karma is good karma, full stop. And so here is Baba saying, no, there's three different levels of good karma. And so I'm doing a lot of physical action for Baba, running around, helping here, doing this, doing that. And all of that is good karma. And yes, it is an accumulation, but it's different. And that also Baba specified, it has to be altruistic and without any desire for any return. So the question at that time had come, and again it came now. So how come that's not part of my future reward? It should be. And yes, of course, it's going to bring a return. And Baba said it brings you a return now. The happiness that you experience, the power that you experience, and also bring a return in the future. But in this particular case, Baba was talking about just simply inner effort for the self. And so as you begin to reflect on the difference of all of these, then you begin to see that that first stage, which is the connection of the future reward, in a way you can say that that's the stage we attain, the final first stage. The final stage, I go home, but the first stage with which I come into the golden age. And so my understanding of all this is that that's purely related to my own thinking in terms of soul consciousness, the original qualities of the self, my thoughts of the truth, not the truth of physical reality here, what's going on, but the truth of the eternity of the soul and the eternal relationship with God. Basically, Baba's knowledge. And so I can be doing a lot of physical karma, which is all beneficial. It's all going to be accumulation. But my stage, never mind status, the status word creates problems, but my stage and my satupradhan fullness, that happens through the quality of my thinking. Soul consciousness, relationship with God, God's virtues, and the eternal drama. These three things. And if then I connect it with this Baba's murli, the Sakar murli, Sakar murli usually focuses on good karma, bad karma. Baba gives us very detailed definitions of bad karma and how to avoid bad karma. That comes up in many ways. Baba and Mamma and the effort they made was not just related to karma and the stage that we observed and that you hear about, and not just in terms of people's experiences, but the stage that you're able to perceive through the quality of their muralis. Baba's murli, where is Baba? Baba's up here. Something happens. What's my reaction? Is it up here or is it here or somewhere here? Mama's murlis, the clarity with which Mama takes up a subject and dissects it completely. so that it becomes very clear, not only to us, but those who've never heard knowledge before. So again, you can see the quality of Mama's thinking, and of course, her being and her doing. So their practice was not just on the level of karma. Their practice was on the level of those powerful, pure thoughts that they were having. And so, Sakar days, Baba Mama demonstrating everything, and the Sakar Murli, and this Murli focusing so much on this Nirsankalp, this stage which is free from thought, or in the other context that Baba took it up so strongly, that created questions, questions of inquiry, not questions of doubt for anyone, I know that. But here's Baba saying that whatever you're doing for the sake of service, you're doing it for God. But that's not actually the stage of yoga. Yes, there's bad thoughts, you've dealt with the negative thoughts, you're now on the level of soul consciousness, and you're not having waste thoughts, critical thoughts, judgmental thoughts, none of that. If you are, then that's down here. That's still the tamo stage. It's not even the rajo stage, it's the tamo stage. Criticism, judgment, gossip, negativity, that's the tamo stage. The rajo stage, yes, sometimes a bit of that comes, but you're dealing with it, you recognize it, and you know how to put a full stop to it, but there's a certain amount of loss. And the questions that are arising in your mind, not just about God and God's knowledge, but also about other people, that's also draining you of your energy. So you're not able to come to that level of purity. It's still polluted. But now you're thinking about service, and there's no motive involved. You're thinking about the yagya, how to serve the yagya. You're thinking about plans for serving others. All of that is okay, it's fine, and it's good, but it's not the stage that's going to accumulate power for you. Nirsankalp in that condition. That's why Baba's using the word nirsankalp. It's not that elevated pure thought that's going to carry you to absolute good karma. It is good karma. It is accumulation when there are thoughts of the yagya and you follow through those thoughts and your actions. But it's not of that first level in which Baba spoke about pure thoughts related to soul, related to God, related to the qualities of God and my connection with God. And so when I began to remember that particular Murli, I was able to get this Murli into context. That akarma, when we think about the deities, akarma, it's not bringing a return. The good that they have accumulated through good karma in the past, that's the reward that they're experiencing. But there's no more accumulation. And so this word akarma comes in, no return of that karma. The other person for whom we would use this word akarma, and at the moment, Baba talked about that stage where free from thoughts, no thoughts. Yes, there's good thoughts about the yagya, and so that's fine. Baba's saying, that's okay. You don't have to try and live in this physical world and say, I'm going to be thoughtless. Difficult. Well, impossible. Baba said, that's impossible. So yes, had those thoughts, and that too comes into the category of no reaction of any level. And it's going to lead to karma, which is going to bring you a return, but it's not of that caliber. Clear? So that's how I put this Murali into context. And then, of course, in the stage of yoga, again, this you've heard many times. Now put that in condition in the context of this other thing. So in the stage of yoga, how often have you heard Baba say, if you're thinking about service, is that yoga? Well, that's pretty clear. So I have to go even beyond thoughts of service. Yes, when I'm churning Baba's knowledge, that is definitely bringing me closer to that stage of relationship with God and that deep connection with God, but not thoughts of service. And those pure thoughts of jnana, the churning, is going to lead me to the stage where there is that pure state of silence and just simply the experience. So nirsankalp, this word, creates a little bit of confusion sometimes, but Mama would say, have a plain intellect. You're making lots of plans, but have a plain intellect. She would use these English terms. So the planning and the churning of plans, separate subject. But plain, that stage in which there's pure silence and the connection with God, that's where I receive God's touchings. That's where I receive God's power. That's how my past sins get absolved and the soul gets purified. So, nirsankalp through the day, yeah? Good thoughts, but that's fine and it's going to lead to good karma. I've also said, when there's soul consciousness, then there's going to be good karma. No soul consciousness, and there's always going to be a trace of something, something, something. And so the very simple way for purification, first step, soul consciousness, second step, God consciousness. So I'm safe from any other influences, even of my own sanskars. And so watching the mind, Baba said, you have to have a lot of caution. And so watching the mind and seeing where it's going and what it's doing is that inner effort that Baba wants us to have. And the reality that if I am having that inner effort, then the proof of this, the transformation that is visible. Transformation doesn't get hidden. Transformation is visible through my actions, through my words, through my face. Everything shows how much transformation there is. The interrelationships, that also reveals transformation. So I'm sure that there's more for you to reflect on and churn. So, but sharing just a few thoughts to move us in that direction. The second thing, there's a few things lined up for this morning. So the second thing that I want to mention, the impact of Brahma Kumaris at COP23. Always this question comes, you give time, energy, finance is always involved, you give all of these things to a particular type of service, and what is the result? Well, if I just remind you of one thing that I'd said last week, but it was even more visible now, because BKs were invited to a session with UNESCO. Now, UNESCO is the education, science, cultural wing of the United Nations. And on one level, it's been the one that's been least approachable. And then Living Values was endorsed by UNESCO and by different departments of UNESCO, not the body itself. But over the last few years, maybe 2 years ago, we were invited to speak at a UNESCO event. And prior to that, making friends. The purpose of being at these things is friendship, making friends. And then you don't know what's going to lead to where. But this time, the subject that they had a panel on, and one person was a professor who was the vice chair of the International Committee for Climate Change, the IPCC. I'm sure you've heard of that. And they're the people who've been giving the climate reports regularly. The next one is due next year. But this person was the vice chair of the IPCC, and he then resigned, and he wanted to focus more on the subject of ethics behind climate change. And being part of the official government body, he wasn't able to speak so freely. So he consciously resigned to do this. So he spoke about how it's an ethical problem. Why? Because there is injustice, and the people who have done the least, the countries who have done the least to make all this happen, are the ones who are suffering the most already. Not just going to happen, climate change is here, and it's happening. So his talk was extremely powerful. The second was a woman who's the chief of staff of the Prime Minister's office in the Cook Islands. And she said, it's a crazy thing people tell us. They say to us, well, if the sea level is going to rise, and 1 meter is 3 feet sea level rise, just imagine, that's absolutely imminent, it's going to happen. And so they're telling us, move in inland or move upwards on a higher ground. And she said, well, if we move inland, there's the sea on the other side. So where do we go? And there is no higher ground on the small islands. I mean, she put it in a very humorous way, but it's a very serious topic. She said, on the main island, in the Cook Islands, yes, there is a little bit of a hilly area, and we can go up the mountain, but the small islands are going to disappear. What does the conscience of humanity say? Lots of other things, but that was the essence of her talk. The whole thing was ethics and climate change, and there's a very interesting publication that UNESCO has printed, which has articles about climate change and the ethics. And the third person who was speaking, again, a professor, but this time a professor from the USA. And all of you heard about what the US is doing in terms of climate change. And the good news, the governor of California, the energy commissioner of California, all of them said, whatever is happening in the White House is his business, but we're carrying on with our laws, which are already in place. And so we are not going to go backwards. And California has the fourth largest economy in the world. Countries and then one state. So they're powerful. They can do a lot. So this guy, he was from America, and he said, I'm absolutely horrified that people don't understand that morals and ethics are linked to the subject of climate change. And of course, then it was my turn, and I spoke about injustice and how you can't have one part of the world survive and the other part of the world not survive. It's not possible. It's one boat that we're all on. And so if the boat starts sinking on one side, what's going to happen to the rest? So very simple. But of course, then where do morals and ethics come from? And what Baba's explained is that they lie in the soul. And if your materialistic consumer consciousness, materialistic consciousness, there are no values and ethics, only money becomes the god, which is how it's described in the Bible. But the reality, come back to the soul, and then you begin to see everyone as one family. Come back to the soul, and then there is inclusion instead of exclusion. And so injustice and inclusion, these are some of the topics that were within the articles of the UNESCO Charter, UNESCO Guidelines for Ethics. And as yet, UNESCO is the only international body that's actually looking at ethics together with climate change. So different high-level people from UNESCO were present there. But again, an interfaith person we've had a lot of friendship with and connection with, he's now in UNESCO. And he was telling me that, I think God has put me here for a special task. So, let's see. But very interesting on the external level. It wasn't a time for agreements. The Paris Agreement now has to be followed through. So it was being described as a technical conference, but a few high-powered people, but the rest were usually ministers. But Mr. Macron was there, Angela Merkel was there, the President of Germany was there, and different people had different levels of connection, BKs with all of them. So, and the German government doing such huge publicity for India One, everywhere. It's a national campaign, so airports, stations, everywhere. And any person we meet, we would meet, we just show them the photograph and said, this is the Brahma Kumaris, and they instantly recognize it. So Baba has a way of working that we cannot imagine. Definitely, I could not imagine that a European country would be the first country that the government publicized Mount Abu in this way. Amazing. So keep watching God's plan. We've got a couple of other things now, but I also just want to say two more things. Good news. You've been seeing what's going on at GRC, and you'll get more news about this from Ratan Bhai next week. But just to say that last week there was a meeting in which the trustees approved the whole renovation that's needed for plumbing, etc., etc. So that work has started in terms of all the, you can imagine that if you get a little extension built, how many times you have to go to the council for planning permission and everything. Oh, let's multiply this by 50 times and you get an idea of how much is involved, but also multiply this a few more times, English heritage is involved. And so it's going to take time, but with Baba protecting us and helping us, it'll all happen beautifully, I'm sure, with everyone's support and cooperation. And today we have Veena Ben's family with us. And so when we offer bhog, it'll be for Veena Ben. The soul is with Baba. Very lovely soul. Many of you knew her. Many of you went to her class at Uxbridge from time to time. But a soul who always, always was available for Baba for service. And today we are offering bhog for that soul.